Comedy.
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 Ciao. Welcome to the Comedy Hall.
Vamos a la playa.
Ciao, ciao everybody. Welcome to the Comedy Hall podcast. Here we go. We have Ariel.
Yo, yo.
Yo. Jordan.
At Jordan Thomas Gray.
This is Beatrice. And today we have our special guest, Zinger.
Zing, zing.
Zingalinga-ding-dong.
Yeah, what up, everyone? What up, all three of you watching this shit? Because you have nothing else to do.
Well, motherfucking Zinger.
We have at least 70 listeners.
Stop lying, bro. You have 70 listeners?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many YouTube subscribers do you have?
Bro, let's not talk about YouTube right now. I want to have a good day.
All right. So
who is Zinger?
Zingers are like a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedian from Zimbabwe.
Fan favorite is a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. I'm trying to pick you up, man.
My fan likes
bro,
you.
Bro, I'm
they
the
like
only
you.
Person with real haters. You remember that British guy?
You're polarizing, all right? It's better to be polarizing than to be boring.
And also people likes you a lot in the audience. Like every time we call you on stage,
I feel like they feel sorry for me. There's a difference.
No. Wednesday show, I was hosting first half. I was bombing. Everyone was bombing. And mm-hmm. then you came on mm-hmm. and you killed. You always have that.
Okay. Not
yeah, you didn't go away.
You'll forget eventually. It was old material that you've done 1,000 times, but yeah. I had an open mic, but.
Why are you blasting me?
It saved the show. It saved
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, it's for the show. It's for the big show coming out on the 4th. Do you guys have tickets? Nope.
I don't know how to get tickets. Also, Zinger, this is the most confusing poster I've seen for a comedy show ever.
Yeah.
It looks like you're about to do hip hop.
Yeah.
Well. It's under this Dark Waves, guys. So for all of you wondering, I have a show coming up on the 4th.
November
4th.
This will be released after that.
It might not be released. Chances are I don't have enough people. Like I messaged all my friends and none of them are coming, bro. So yeah, it's just going to be like fucking me.
But also I'm wondering how many friends you have here. They're
yeah,
not comedians.
I think those numbers after this weekend.
Zinger messaged me. It probably sent you all the same message. Hey, I need 150 people to
yeah,
come to
same.
The show. How many people will you bring? And I said, well, I'm going. So that's one.
That's what a lot of people say.
Maybe I will
I was
be
like,
there.
I'm bringing myself.
No, uh-huh. we will be there and we will laugh. Like we
like you heard the you never heard the jokes
exactly.
before. That's the problem with comedy. Yeah, when you hear the same joke twice, you're like, ha. That's okay.
But honestly, you have this thing that no one else has, that even if you say a joke many times on stage, it's always like the audience like to hear them, those jokes.
Also, like last time on Tuesday, last Tuesday or 2 weeks ago, where you were prepared, or at least you started and finished with no pauses, you were on it. Like I heard those jokes many times, but I was like, holy fuck, this is great.
Oh, really?
Whereas, you know, I've seen you do those jokes with pauses. You forget. You're reading off of your hand and it's a different story.
Do you actually forget, or is the classic Zinger, what else? And look at your hand. Is that just a bit for you now?
No, it's not a bit. It's like, it's never been a bit. I'll be genuinely fucked. Like,
of course.
Be standing on stage.
Because sometimes I laugh at it.
That's
I think
the
it's
problem
hilarious.
With forgetting. When you forget on stage, you suddenly remember where you are. Yeah, like, fuck, man. Look at all these people waiting for a punchline. And you never usually have one.
But
so,
when
yeah.
you have a set, like when you have a set you're doing and it's nailed down, you destroy. It's just sometimes you show up and it's clear that you haven't thought about comedy in 2 days.
But we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay, all right.
Let's introduce Zinger to the crowd that's listening. Just because Zinger,
yeah.
you're from Zimbabwe. That's a country.
I yeah, think. It is a country.
Now, now
been a country since 1980.
1980?
Yeah,
1980. What was it called before then?
Rhodesia.
Rhodesia.
Yeah. It was okay. This guy with the Hitler mustache who sailed across the Atlantic and took it over.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, his name was Cecil John Rhodes.
Listen, Zinger, tell us about yourself. I'm
doing a Jiminy Glick.
Yeah. No, you're called Zinger.
But Zinger is your name. What does Zinger mean?
It's a burger from KFC.
It is Zinger's a chicken sandwich.
Oh, that was the chicken bacon chicken?
Chicken, yeah.
I've always called a Zinger. To be that tasty.
But it's also a joke. It's also a quick joke. A Zinger, yep. That's my ukulele. We're in my apartment, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Jordan Thomas Gray. In Jordan's apartment. Yeah, this is a trashy-ass apartment.
Trashy apartment. Okay, Zinger, where do you live?
Okay,
a box?
Okay, before I insult you, I'm going to take that back because I know you have files.
It's easy to make fun of Zinger.
Zinger owes me 300 pounds.
Yeah, that's another thing. You can't really make fun of people who owe you money. So you just have to be there. Like, yeah, of course. I mean, I love your dog.
But yes, so, okay. Zinger came from Zimbabwe, living in Polska. But how long ago? That was a while ago.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years, man. And it's been fine, but it's been a hard ass 3 years, you know.
Do you miss Zimbabwe?
I miss my parents.
This is the first time I've seen.
I miss not paying rent. I miss that.
Oh, that's it.
I miss living with my parents.
I miss a fridge that's like full all
and
the
also
time.
Also, because sure. How old are you?
23.
Young kid.
So, keeps getting older. When I first met you, you were like 21.
I was 21.
But it's like, and you're almost not a young guy anymore.
It's called time.
Yeah, Jordan.
What are you talking?
No, Jordan is a robot. He doesn't get old.
I'm confused. Time is moving forwards.
Time is moving forward. I keep staying the same age.
Yes.
Don't we all?
Time.
Post-pandemic?
Post-pandemic do what?
Nothing. I was carded at a card for the other day. I had a hat on.
Carded? What the fuck is that?
They ask for your ID if you're trying to buy alcohol.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It was an old lady. It's Bobches. Bobches think I'm like 15 years old.
No. Jordan is Brad.
No. You.
That's not looking 15 is not a good thing.
Yeah. Jordan, you don't look 15, bro.
I know.
You right? Really don't.
You have gray hair.
You have the white
I have,
gray.
If I have a hat on, so I have very gray hair. But if I had
tall,
the hat on, I get carded by old ladies.
Bro, how blind was this lady?
The other lady, there was two ladies. They were both old.
Why would you ask for ID if you can't see
just,
the ID?
I just took my hat off and said, I don't have an ID. And they were like, oh, yeah. Back to Zinger.
But back to Zinger. Why did you come to Poland?
That's a question I get a lot, and I'm tired of answering it. So I'll answer it for the last time.
On record.
On record. I came here for school.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right. I was doing architecture for a few years. Actually, 1 year, 3 semesters to be exact. Then I dropped out. Like every rich, successful person that has ever owned a Microsoft company. Elon, shout out to Bill Gates. Shout out to my man, Dr. Dre. Oh, shit. He doesn't even... Okay, yeah. All the other guys.
Dr. Dre graduated.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a doctorate.
He's a PhD.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But do your parents know that you dropped?
Oh, yeah. They know.
They know? They know. What did they say when you dropped?
Because this podcast, they probably won't listen to this. They said, good luck. They said good luck, but like... they tried to help, but they couldn't help because, you know, fees was expensive. That's why I dropped out. That's the real reason why I dropped out.
Yeah.
So it was too expensive?
Yeah, it was too much. I couldn't handle it. Plus the fucking doing work, doing school thing for something that I don't want to do in the future as well. Because I wasn't even enjoying the course. I was good at it,
but
I was not enjoying
it. What were you studying? Maybe you already
architecture.
Said?
Architecture.
Architecture.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm... wondering because you took to comedy, but you also know, like when I talk to you, we mm-hmm. talk comedy and you know mm-hmm. people I know, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, yeah.
In Zimbabwe, I'm picturing just like plains, hot weather, and
no trees,
dirt. no trees, dirt everywhere.
Cool. Yeah, I know,
but like
no buildings,
but
cows,
but like
donkeys.
Did you watch comedy growing up?
No. Actually, the first comedian I ever watched on TV was Trevor Noah.
And how long ago was that?
Trevor Noah in 2013, 2014.
That's the first time you ever saw him do stand up.
That's the first time I saw any stand up on TV. And the first time I watched it, I was like, I can never do this.
Yeah.
Because he was that smart and he was really clever with what he was talking about and how he was saying it
mm-hmm.
that I just realized maybe this might be out of reach.
But wait, you
I never considered it, but I was just there like, That's not something I would be able to do. Oh, what is that? A picture?
This is a picture of Zimbabwe bears.
Oh yeah. This is where you need to go. For all you white people, this is where you need to go. There's fucking fountains, Victoria Falls.
Oh yeah,
that's where you need to go. There's
Victoria Falls is in Zimbabwe. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, the Falls Fist.
It's famous. It's the tallest.
Well, it used to be in the seventh wonders of the world. Then we were bought out.
What?
By South Africa. Yeah, they just paid a shit ton of money, and then they put the what is that thing? The mountain, Table Mountain.
Wait, hold on. The seven wonders of the world can be bought out?
You can. Actually, you can buy that. Yeah.
Who decides?
That's the thing. Those people can be bought. You just go like, oh, we want our landmark on the seven wonders of the world.
Is it Victoria Falls?
So now number eight.
But Victoria Falls is the tallest waterfall in the world. Is that right?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's the longest. Niagara. That's Niagara Falls.
Have you seen it?
The most water.
The Victoria Falls. Yeah. I've been there. I've been there twice. Yeah. I've been there a few times. Once I was 11 years old and a monkey stole my orange.
Yeah, classic.
And that's
classic Zimbabwe story.
That's literally all they remember from the trip.
Yeah.
Because I was crying about the orange the whole way back home. And I'm like, you're still talking about the orange. Yeah.
Like, it's a goddamn monkey stole it. Son of a bitch.
So yeah, that monkey snatched my orange and I want it back.
Okay.
That's really why I started doing comedy.
But okay, back to comedy. Although that is comedy right there.
Yeah,
a monkey stole my orange.
Yeah.
A monkey stole my orange.
You definitely should write something about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's made up, but like...
actually a real story.
Of course. I believe you.
Yeah.
But okay, so when you saw the comedy, you thought, oh, I would want to do this?
I was jealous of what he was doing, but I think...
Sorry about the mic.
I was jealous. I confused it with the phone. My bad. this is very modern technology.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Sorry,
used to just oranges.
Is this a sofa or a couch? What is this?
No,
it's a chair. That's a chair.
You're
sitting
that's
in a chair.
Okay. All right. That's what it's called. Okay. Chair. I'm just learning English as we go along. All right. So where was I?
Yes.
So I'm watching Trevor. I feel like I can't do it. Then when I came here,
But here's the thing. That's what I was going to ask. Is like when I see a piano player, mm-hmm. that
you
person's
resonate,
great.
Right?
Yeah, but the fact that your first thought was, "Oh, I couldn't do that," is mm-hmm. interesting to me. It means like there's something in you that wants to do it.
There was definitely something in me that wanted to do it. I think it just comes from childhood, bro. You know. When you grow up like me, you're like, if you were me, you were not the most popular guy at school. You were not bullied or anything, or not severe bullying or whatever, right? But like, I was like unknown. Yeah. Like, basically, I could die tomorrow, or maybe not die. Let's use a different word. I could move from the school tomorrow and no one would notice. Be like, oh, it was an extra chair. I wonder what happened to the other. They wouldn't know, you know. So I was that feeling of wanting to be seen is probably why I started doing it. And because I came here and then I started living this normie life. And the pandemic hit. You know, everyone gets depressed during the pandemic. So I just joined the crew, I guess, because it was fashionable to be depressed back then. And that's what happened. And then I watched Dave Chappelle on Netflix. And then no shots at the GOAT, but I was like, I could do this.
Okay.
And yeah,
you saw Dave Chappelle and
you were
like,
I could
easy.
Do this. This is, come on. Because he made it look so
effortless.
Simple.
He does make it look effortless.
The way he made it look so simple, I was just there like, man, I could rock the mic harder than this. Watch this.
Right.
Went to Krakow, bombed for 5 minutes straight. The mic, it was so bad. You know, this mic that has this cord that's connected to the mic just fell off halfway through my performance. And then I had to call Addy for some help. You know, Indians always available cheap. And he showed up. So he shows up, he fixes the mic. Jeez. And then I kept going.
So you didn't know how to plug the mic back in even? Yeah, when you're starting out.
The equipment was... holding it was a problem. I was just there like, maybe I should do this. I don't know. Put it under my armpit. You know, I could do comedy under the armpit right there. Hello?
Do you remember any of your first jokes or bits from that performance that bombed?
I was talking about dry pussy. That's why I bombed.
Yeah. No one believed you ever.
Oh my God.
Look. For all of you with dry pussy out there, we're trying to help.
Zinger, it sounds like a zinger problem, not a not a woman problem.
But, okay.
The first time I saw Zinger.
Canceled.
Can I have one of these?
Sure, man.
The first time I saw Zinger, his set was all about the other kind of pussy.
Dry pussy.
No. The
Vietnamese pussy.
No, keep going.
Smelly pussy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
it was not good.
I remember
Zinger,
that.
Let me ask you.
You've come so far.
What's your opinion on that joke?
It's bad to picture.
So when you say this, like, smelly pussy, I picture it and I don't laugh because I feel like, oh my God, this is disgusting. And it's it.
I think it's more so the joke just sucked.
The joke wasn't great.
I don't remember the joke, but I clearly remember how I felt when he said smelly pussy on stage.
Pussy not funny. That should be funny on its own.
Yeah. I remember you saying stinky pussy, which is almost even worse just to hear. It's just a visceral. There's one joke that we're all thinking of. Maybe you just say the joke right now.
Rick James?
No. All right. The joke I remember, he was like, people were telling me bad things about stinky pussy. I hate saying it.
Oh, fish pussy.
God damn.
Oh.
Just shaking.
It's
just a different flavor of pussy.
But the joke is that, like, you didn't like people saying bad things about your favorite food.
Yeah, because pussy is my favorite food.
But, like,
not funny?
But no one believes that. One, you've put people off because you're saying these, like, horrible things that makes everybody cringe. And then, like, you don't seem. What's really funny is that
you know I don't care. You know that, right?
It doesn't matter if you don't care. I'm talking about.
Yeah, Zinger, you do have this shamelessness.
You do.
When you're on stage, which is great. And with that said, for the audience and listening, like, it is great to see a comedian perform over and over, because I've seen Zinger do horribly where
dude, the way he dragged the H, horrible.
Yeah. Just
he's doing
you're
it
just
justice.
A whore.
And honestly, till the point where afterwards I'm hosting the show and afterwards I'm like comforting you, like, hey dude, it's fine, just go on next week, and you're like, fuck this, it's almost like you're suicidal. But I've also seen you do the great, like, kill.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, I've seen you do amazingly. And when you are sticking to your set and whatever, you do great. So it's not like you are a bomb or you are a great set. You're yourself, and the shamelessness is there. But there also is a heart behind it. It's not like you walk off stage and you're like, I don't give a shit. You do care.
I care.
Also, I think it changed a lot in the past weeks. Like, now when you go on stage, you have, like, people laugh even before you start to speak, because you have this phase of I am young and, like, I'm smiley, young, and whatever I'm going to say, it's, even if it's tough to hear, you will empathize with it or will accept it because I'm young and stupid.
And I've said that. Smart. I've said that on stage.
You've developed a presence. That's what's changed for me the most. I've seen you for a year, and over that time, you changed a lot. Mm. We've all changed a lot over the past year.
Yeah, we really have.
But you've developed this presence where you can just go up and, like, your presence is funny. Mm-hmm. Like, people laugh before you say anything, and even when you're like, what else? And you look at your hand, people laugh. Like, you've developed this sense that now, and I'm glad to hear way fewer pussy jokes of any type.
What's wrong with pussy jokes, bro? Can someone tell me what the problem with pussy jokes is? I want to hear the audience, all of you.
The audience decides. It's not our decision.
What about you?
I challenge you to make this joke about the smelly pussy now, not now on this podcast, but now that you developed your presence on stage, and I think it will go differently because. It will go differently. So it's just a challenge. Mm-hmm. Just try.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I think when you're talking about smelly pussy.
See, you're laughing just saying it.
Dude,
how is that not funny?
I mean, it can be very, very funny. I just think It's about a smelly pussy joke, right?
Yeah, you need a joke.
The joke is the part you need to have.
You need a punchline. That is the punchline.
Actually,
she was fat.
Yeah. So we have an inside joke that we'll explain.
I think we're selling you short. You have jokes. You absolutely have jokes. And lately you've been great.
Yeah, so doing great.
It's been fun to watch you.
Probably the best.
For sure. But okay, back to Zimbabwe.
Uh-huh.
Because I want to know about your upbringing. I mean, it's kind of boring sometimes to talk about it, but like for me, I've never been there. I don't know what's going on there. I know you, and that's about it.
Okay, so I grew up confused about being poor. Basically, we had a big ass house, but the swimming pool didn't have water. You know, we had cars, but there was no fuel in the cars.
Are you chewing gum?
No, he's just having a candy.
He's just having candy. Bro, this is your trick or treat shit, bro. This is
that
your
was a
stuff.
Mistake. Never put out candy.
This is why people think you're 2 years old, because you're running around with candy in your house and decorations. What is this, Jordan?
It's a pumpkin. We're recording this right before Halloween. Anyway, back to Zinger.
Oh shit, I struck a nerve. All right, my bad.
Yeah. Ooh. Someone's trying to lure kids into his home.
I'm just trying to have a festive environment for this podcast. But now people are eating the candy. That's a problem.
You didn't have Halloween in Zimbabwe.
No. The scariest costume, the best costume you could wear was probably a passport.
Because you would leave?
Because everyone wants to leave with you. You know, they're like, what's up when I went
home? Yeah.
Okay, that wasn't that funny. But it's
no, not that great. But you, because you grew up in the time where there was that huge inflation or that
yeah,
was
early? I grew up, yeah. I mean, it was from 99. I don't really remember much. I only remember like...
That's right. You're born in 99?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I'm 94.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
One time someone broke into our fucking house.
One time someone broke into your house.
Yeah, someone broke into my house, stole the TV. That's why I was emotional about that situation. That's all I really remember from that one house. So we moved to 2006, different house.
Where people don't rob
location,
you.
Better location, the suburbs, you know what I mean? And then we hit inflation hit 07, 08. Those were fucked up days, bro. I remember my dad... coming from like he had to go to like Botswana and South Africa just to get food, and it would just come with these canned beef, like just a whole bunch of canned beef, a whole bunch of sugar, a whole bunch of what. The food was horrible during that time. Everyone had diarrhea. It was tough, man. 08 was probably the worst. I wiped my ass with the newspaper. That was
in a mansion.
Yeah, in a mansion. So it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, what the fuck is going on, bro? We have a swimming pool, no water, like I mentioned before. But it's just like, yeah, it was a different existence. It's hard to explain because it's like, there's a lot of land in Zimbabwe. If you go to Zimbabwe, you would enjoy yourself because then you'd have a house. You'd probably get a house as well. And you'd have a big yard and shit. But like, outside, everything's fucked. Like, the roads have potholes, right? The fuel's expensive. But that's only if you're earning the local currency. If you have your US dollars, you'd just be fucking killing it, bro.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? So, it's a weird existence. But a lot of people... For some people, it's not really. But I do miss it. I won't lie.
And, I mean, it's gorgeous around. Just, like, beautiful
it's
scenery.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. There's a lot of... uninhibited lands.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of spaces that are like just free of animals, like different animals. Like that's why I think people here are so relaxed because
there's no animals kill you.
To be honest, there's low-key no animals.
I used
here,
to
bro.
Think that about like why did anyone leave Africa? Like why did anyone move to Europe or anything? Like if we all started in Africa, why didn't we just stay there? Mm-hmm. And like if you think about it, here in Poland, there's no poisonous
spiders, no snakes, no fucking weird ass creatures.
Yeah, yeah. It's
four
like
four wings.
He's
and shit.
Wait, what's
that?
No, you didn't know? There's dragons in the
house of the dragon. Dragon is true and it's set in Zimbabwe.
It's also Wakanda. That's yep. what it is.
But seriously, agriculture is so much easier in Poland when there's like land and no animals to fuck with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
it is a crazy reason to, you know, to get out of a place when everything can kill you.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Anything can kill you. That's the joke that I had, the premise I was trying to develop one time when I was talking about why Africans are so loud. It's because a lot can kill you, bro.
And you got to stay loud so the animals stay around.
So you got to be like, run! Yeah. Just be like, run. That's Jordan. Run.
Run. No, stop.
Oh my God, stop.
Oh, a bear.
Oh shit, you're dying. Oh my God.
Oh no.
Now, did you actually, wait. Did you ever learn to hunt growing up in Zimbabwe? Because in Canada, like everyone around me knew, like had a gun and knew how to hunt and shit.
Only the white people hunted. You know, this is what I always say. White people in Africa are more African than Africans. Because they spend days and years in the fucking bushes. They go camping. They do it. Well, at least all the black people, they do the exact opposite. No, I'm going to get an office. I'm going to get an apartment.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I'm going to get cars.
I get
I'm
it.
I'm going to get bitches.
So the opposite of white people.
But would you go to live back to
Honestly,
Zimbabwe?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't see where my... I used to have an ideal... like idea of where I want to stay in the future. Like when I was growing up, my goal was to stay in Canada or the US or UK or Australia, New Zealand. Yeah, those are my five countries. And then I realized all of them are trash when I grew up.
Mm. Yeah,
you
know, yeah,
when
sure.
you do some research, yeah, when you go on YouTube and you don't just rely on the news and limited experience or fancy flyers. Like, come to Canada.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I started to realize, there's bigger social issues over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to stay in a place that socially inhibits me. But Poland is okay. But I don't know, man. I don't know. We're just too close to Russia, bro.
Yeah, it scares you.
Yeah, it fucking scares me. Every 2 minutes, I'm like, why am I coming up with a new joke? A nuke's gonna blow up tomorrow. That shit's like... Oof.
Even moving back to Zimbabwe, like... I mean, we're ignoring the fact of, like, doing comedy professionally. Because if any of us keep going, we'll just keep doing this more and more. And so any opportunity we have is the place we're living in. Provide it. So, like, with you... I mean, I've seen progress already. And so, like, you just keep going and then you're going to be able to do this for a living.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so, you know, you can't be moving back to Zimbabwe if there's no comedy clubs or whatever.
Yeah,
there's
like one comedian I've seen, but he does solo shows.
You could start it. Counterpoint is that, Dragos,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Dragos.
He was talking about doing comedy in Spanish because his girlfriend lives in Mexico.
Okay.
And so he's going to move there, learn Spanish and start doing comedy in Spanish because there are so few people doing it in Spanish. It's called the blue ocean theory of economics, that if no one is doing it and if you're one of the only people,
if you're the
you
first
can make,
person,
the first person or one of the only people.
So,
so, the counter, so then you could just start your own shows, like create the community and be the guy is a way that you could do it. And now Beatrice wants to say something.
Yeah, I am the only Italian lady doing it in English in the world.
Beatrice is bragging.
No,
is
that true?
It's true.
Julia does it in English.
Who?
The person we met at the show.
Julia did it in
Julia
English.
Julia did it in English.
Who's Julia?
Julia the in Rome.
No, but I mean, she does it in English in Italy and she did it sometimes, right? Like she does it in Italian and then she translated in English. I do it in English. I was the first. I mean, it's a thing.
I don't speak Italian. I
can't
speak
Italian. No, I
don't speak Italian.
No, but it's I'm not bragging. It's a fact. There is no other Italian comedian living not in Italy,
okay,
abroad, that does comedy. We have now the because the scene is starting now in English in Italy. Mm-hmm. So there was no English show. We brought English show in Rome. We from Poland, us, the comedy hall.
Right.
Yeah, actually, okay, I have a theory on this. Quote me if you quote me.
In the war.
My thing is there's a huge English scene in Europe, but there's no one telling the jokes they want to hear. You know what I mean? So I feel
No, they want to hear about sticky pussy is what you think?
No, not that. I feel like there's a big market. And if you could just, because there's no big names coming out of Europe in English.
Yeah.
There's only big names coming out in whatever language they're speaking, French or whatever.
Okay.
But if someone was to like really commit to it, they could take over Europe, bro. It's an open market.
What are you saying?
Like you could become as big.
Like you, if people tried, they could get big in Europe doing English.
Yeah,
people are trying.
People are trying. But it's
I don't know if you're looking around you.
Okay, but also,
with that said, if it takes like let's say 10 years to become a pro comedian on a level where it's you know worldwide pro, then. It's true. Europe is a huge market for people.
It's like, huge, yeah.
It's like I thought about this moving here anyways for music. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, in Canada, there's 35, 40 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And America's 350, a little more now.
Great.
But like in Europe as a whole, it's like 500, 600 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Even if half speak English, which might be even a low number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's a market.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
At some point, English stand-up will break open in Europe and you just want to be one of the top 20, 50 people.
That is true.
Because then it's going to take a while for people to catch up. Yeah. And that's what we're all trying to do.
To do, yeah. Right now. That's literally what it is.
It's early in the scene. Yeah. It's like, I don't think 10 years old for English comedy in Europe.
A few years.
I don't know if that's true.
I think the next five.
I think in 3 to 5 years.
Basically in the next five, some shit will go down and Netflix will be moving all their comedy specials here.
But my disagreement is people are trying. People are even touring around, Poland, but around Europe. People are doing it. And those people pretty much will have space if they're still around when things break open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, and hopefully some of us also will too if we keep at it.
Yeah.
And you as well, Zinger.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's my intention. Yeah, yeah.
And also in my opinion, this is how I feel about it. I know you have a little bit more maybe not drive, but urgency with how quick you want to do stuff. But for me it's like this is a marathon. Like shout out Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
It's a marathon. We were gotta be patient with everything. And it's hard to be patient when you're young, but
it is.
You know, you learn patience as you grow older because things don't happen immediately, but that doesn't mean they will not happen.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing with being young is when you're being young, you just want everything to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Also when you're born in the 94.
Yeah.
Yes. Beatrice is young, everyone. She wants you to know she is very young.
I disagree with this in the fact that for me, in this environment in comedy, the most eager you are to get where you want to be, most probably you will get there. Passion is not for comedy. You cannot be a famous comedian in a year because maybe you don't have enough material. Mm-hmm. But if you work hard,
if you just stay consistent and you need to pick a preparation, a pre-match preparation strategy, whatever you're supposed to do before. You just have to have a routine or a regime before you get on stage, you know. All of these must be checked. I need to do that. I need to make sure I've slept this much. I need to make sure I've eaten this. I believe in that preparation thing. But I don't always get it right. Actually, I get it wrong most of the time. As a matter of fact, I've only ever done it once. So...
I think, Zinger, you just have to keep doing comedy and then and focusing on it. And eventually, because 23, 24 is a rough period. I think we all know that for me, I torpedoed opportunities because I didn't get everything all at once. And so I was like, fuck this. And blew it up. Uh-huh. Don't do that. Uh-huh. You have plenty of time. You're already doing well. More opportunities will come. Mm-hmm. And just, if you just stay with it. And don't get discouraged if things don't happen immediately. I think your future is very bright, is my opinion. Yeah. That's all I want to say.
I think that's what I mean by also because, yeah, Bea, you're right. That is, if you're eager and you have drive and you want to change, you will. And so that's absolutely true. I just think that a lot of this, especially comedy, when you're going on stage in front of a new crowd every week, you know, it's learning to have an arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it's gaining, you just have to constantly be gaining skills. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if someone yells at you in the middle of your punchline, you already know what to say. You're ready for it. And so everyone has their different path. Like Jordan right now is touring around after a year, which is awesome. I don't think that's a stupid idea. I think that's great.
That's and especially a good idea.
Especially
risky
if
for sure.
It's
but
risky,
I think
but
it made sense. At the, yeah.
But awesome. I think it's great. That isn't the path I'm on because we're on like different urgencies, I guess. But like, I do like that. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. I know for myself, I don't post as much because I'm like, let me wait until I'm at a skill set where I feel comfortable with everything. Mm, it's like going camping.
Okay,
you go camping once, you forgot to bring a bowl and you're like, fuck, I could have boiled water and I don't have that ability now. Next time you go camping, you're going to bring a bowl, you're going to bring extra things, a knife with a corkscrew, all these kind of shit, little tiny little tools which will make the camping experience better.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's a lot to do with comedy where you're just like, the more I just go every week, I'm constantly like writing and going up and therefore I have more and more tools as I go up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking like of touring as well, like early, maybe mid-November, all the way up to December. Maybe I'll do January, part of January, and film something on February. In February, when I come back to Warsaw, like again. Well, I won't have like. It's not like I'm gonna go and not come back. It's just gonna be like up and down, the whole of November, December, maybe January, and then film something in Feb. Put it on YouTube, yeah.
I will say in the scene we're in Europe where there's not really infrastructure, no one's going to be like, hey, we're going to book you a tour necessarily.
Yeah, it's, that is
the
true.
The hardest part of doing a tour, me being halfway through one, is booking the things and promoting the things. Promoting is the most essential thing because you could have the best show ever and no one shows up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So getting people to show up is the single hardest thing.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with comedy.
Right. That is true.
So it's, you have to have, people in Europe have to develop the marketing skill set to succeed.
I'm actually glad Jordan went on tour because I foresee that if he had not, we would still all not think about going on
tour. No one was talking about touring.
No one was talking about it.
Now everyone is asking me.
But I remember I was thinking of doing it, but I didn't know the timeline.
Right. Yeah.
But then once you started explaining what you kind of need, then I realized, why not just do it tomorrow? I'm just delaying the inevitable. Because it's not going to grow any bigger.
I think
you know,
it's very true.
You have the guys who come at the hall. I appreciate all of them. And I hope they keep coming back. But I want to give them new material. All this old stuff has to go somewhere else. It has to be presented. Has to be toured around, I guess. Thrown at people, new people. Because it's not fair to tell the same joke twice. I feel guilty.
Yeah, personally. Of course.
I've been there where I'm on stage. I'm like, and you laughed at this,
but also,
this week.
Yeah,
you have to laugh at
this,
this next
before.
Week.
Yeah.
Also,
oh, that's painful for you.
Yeah.
Sure. I believe that touring is important because, or anyway, going to do stand up in another city, it's great to understand that the audience is always different from city to city, and your material, you need to tailor it because, for example, you have some jokes about Warsaw that you will need to like Jordan has some jokes about Poland or about Barcelona. I don't remember, but you had some jokes that you were able to tailor for the city where you were. Yeah, so. Touring is part of growing as a comedian in the sense of what you were saying, doing the marathon and not touring a solo show. Like you can also tour in another comedian or like we did the three of us. It's always good to see other scenes.
And people have been asking me about this and my suggestion is always like, one, if I didn't have the songs, I wouldn't be touring. I have like 25 minutes of songs that just work.
Yeah.
And then probably 30 minutes of material that also works. And also I've hosted at this point dozens of shows, so I also have the hosting skill set. People should team up because some people have like plenty of material. Some people are like better at crowd work and hosting.
That is
and
true.
Like find people that, because I also, before I did the solo thing, did it with you guys, B and Ariel, and like with Ariel, with B, my first shows were with you in places, and we had someone else headlining. You have to to work up to it. And it's very fun to see everyone like, yeah, fucking tour. But it's like, there's a lot of things you have to do before.
With that said though, like, I mean, to shout you out, and I can insert the Jordan is bragging because you don't have to brag for yourself.
Jordan is bragging.
But to brag for you, like, you are like a little bit of that 4-minute mile thing where the first guy who ran a 4-minute mile, no one thought it would be possible. Mm-hmm. Second, he did it like a month after everyone was doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like for you to tour an hour show after a year of comedy is like, doesn't make sense in like for everyone.
People told me this. Yeah. Experienced comedians told me, don't do that.
Yeah. And
they were high.
Listen, we're lucky because we're in like Poland. So it's like a new thing here. And so, you know, a good show is just a good show. Mm-hmm. So people are okay with it. If they had maybe some comparison, maybe it would be
Bill
tougher.
If Bill Burr was touring around, then I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, but with that said, it is an inspirational thing to do. Not only, of course, it's for yourself and for your own show, but it was very, like, it's an interesting, inspirational thing for all the comedians who are in the scene.
To show that it's possible. Like, if you're willing to put in the effort to book the show, promote the show, you feel you have an hour that's solid, you think you can...
Put on an hour show
and also just manage the crowd during be comfortable with crowd work. I think many of us can do that, and they're just putting in the prep and all the work for it, and then the first show will go okay. So I suggest people putting on like a free show first, which is what I did. And if that goes well, why the fuck not? If a free show goes well, people will pay to see it. There's almost no comedy happening in any of these cities.
As Jordan was saying, you need to have a business mentality. Like, you are a brand. Like, when you are a comedian and you want to promote yourself, you need to promote yourself like you are a business. So to sell a show is not just a matter, oh, I have, as you were saying, one hour of material and I can do crowd work, I can do everything. But then you need to sell yourself before, so people buy the tickets and they come to the show. So you need to think about, okay, not only I have 1 hour of material, but I have a strategy, marketing strategy, business strategy to do that.
A marketable name for the show. Like, I see shows being promoted that it's like just look like something I wouldn't want to see, and that has nothing to do with the comedy.
Me and Martin, we want to call our tour the Salt and Pepper Tour.
So, you know, Salt and Pepper is a very good name. Might sue you.
Yeah, so the Salt and Pepper Tour.
It would be
Ebony and
it's
Ivory.
Yeah, November and December.
And would you host? Because you have more of a...
I would not host.
I've seen Martin do good crowd work. I think Martin could do a good job.
I don't think it would be any hosting. It would just be back to back 45 minutes.
Someone's got to interact with the crowd for 5 to 10 minutes before the show. Like, someone has to do that.
Jeez.
If you get up there and just start doing material, it's weird. Like,
I don't know. I actually recently saw you, Zinger, go up on stage and you did something that, like, I haven't seen any of the comedians in the Warsaw scene do without failing. You went up and instead of talking to the audience, being like, what's going on, guys, whatever, you just went, when I was growing up, and you went right into a story and immediately I was on your side.
But that's the middle of a show. That's the middle of an open mic.
It's possible, though.
It's possible, but it's not reliable,
is what
I'm saying.
That's what I want to do, but... I get what you're saying, and I think you may be right. That's why even professionals have openers and stuff. So it's a bit ignorant for me to think that I can just come out without greeting anyone.
Right.
I would just like to see this.
And so I just, you know, I was hanging out in Africa and, you know, that makes no sense.
It's possible to do.
But it's possible,
But I think you will encounter, is my opinion, I don't encounter shows where it doesn't go well. And then, but you want every show to go at least decently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can find any type of strategy. For example, you do 5 minutes at the beginning, then Martin goes up, he does, I don't know how much time, 30 minutes, and then you go and then, you know, so you can kind of host... What? Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing at things.
Well,
quiet enough.
Keep going.
Yeah, so you can find any strategy. You can, for example, if you do the show in Warsaw, someone else can host you guys. You know, you can find connections in the city where you
are. And also, I think it's also possible in Spitalna.
In Krakow.
Krakow, yeah.
Krakow. But anywhere else, maybe not.
They'll do that for you. Yeah, Mark will host. They'll find you support.
What about
Wrocław?
Wrocław and
I'm sure
other
they
cities.
Would also do the same thing. If
okay,
you
they would always have someone who introduces.
You need
not
to ask.
For my show, but you would have to ask.
Okay. So I mean, I'll just.
But
do that,
try also to do it by yourself because first you learn something new, and then you need to rely on your.
That's what I was laughing at before, is because because it would be very funny to see Zinger go up on stage, lights go down, and there's a spotlight, and Zinger's just like. When I was 13, living in just like a one-man show of a singer,
work.
It would be very funny,
it
man.
It can work. And I've thought about just opening, not doing any of that, just opening with a song, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've thought
not
about
not saying anything.
And I should try.
I mean, I've watched plays. Like, people in Poland especially are really ready to watch a theater show. And
right,
so like,
right.
So it would be, I mean, I don't think you should do this, but it was funny image just to you come out in a suit and there's a spotlight on you and you're like...
When I was 15 years old. Yeah.
What I will say, Beatrice, before you go, like what I will say is like from doing the shows, unless you're going to hire people,
right?
You got to be the one taking the ticket, setting everything up. They're going to see you running around. They're going to probably meet you. They're going to meet you for sure if you're taking tickets. And then it's funnier to me, but then kind of... You coming out in the spotlight. Yeah.
I think it's funny.
After promoting your entire show.
That's funny.
But, and then pretending like you don't know anyone in the crowd. Yeah, just like when I was.
Because I have to do that and I'm like, hey, you probably know me from over there. And one guy, I was taking tickets and he was like, I feel like I know you. And I've seen you somewhere. Okay. And I was like, is it from the poster? And he said, yeah, you're the guy in the poster. Why are you taking tickets? Like, this is the reality of...
Okay, you go.
Yes, I go. So, two things. Mm-hmm. One is you can host one of our shows, for example, to try it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can... start the show as you want and you see and you check how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, hosting is part of the experience that the audience will have. And in the way you host, it will like the show will go based on the way you will host.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not a famous comedian.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you have already credibility. You go on stage, you have credibility. No one knows you. And you want people to have a nice experience, right?
Right.
So for example, Filippo in Berlin, when he was hosting the show, he would be outside the place and like in his extravagant way welcome people in the show. So people, because the venue was not big, was not 100 seats, it was like 50 seats, so the people see you and it will be weird that you are the host and you are having an hour show and you do not say hi to the people. That will be weird, right? And the people will be like, what the fuck is going here?
But again, I want to see that.
Yeah.
And I think this is the value of, like when I was testing the show, I went to Lublin, don't know anyone in Lublin, and just
Lublin.
Saw how it was. And I think this is a model that I'm only saying people should do it because I did it and it worked. Is it go to some fucking random city, find a bar, and then just do the thing that you want to do and see if it works and just have it be free.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it works, fucking great. Repeat it. Mm-hmm, but I think people have this idea that they should just start an hour show, charge a lot, go to a place, have a format that's not been tested. Mm-hmm, and I think that's a recipe
for
disappointment. Again, it could work, but like I think you should test something as a free show in some random city.
That's what I'm doing in Warsaw. But it's not on the 4th. That's basically what that is. Except it only charges 25. The charge is 20. I mean, 20 zloty. But it's like, even with that 20 zloty, people are really not paying to see the comedy. They're paying to see the artists. Because there's like several artists performing after me. Like that are doing rap, hip hop, whatever. Right? And it's a party. It's a whole party. It's a whole experience. That's what they're paying for. So even if you were to like take the ticket price, I would be getting like what? 1.5 zloty? That's the value that I add to that ticket price. There's other heavy hitters there. So, basically I'm practicing there.
You're practicing
ground.
The set.
But
you got to practice the show. Beginning.
I think there will be, of course, that'll come hand in hand a little bit.
Yeah, it will. I think it will come hand in hand.
Listen, if it goes, I mean, I hope it doesn't, but if it goes
terribly, that's a great lesson also for the show.
I think it'll go well.
It will go well.
Yeah, I think so too. But all I'm saying is that every aspect of failure in the show would be a learning lesson anyway.
And so. Zinger learns from bombing better than anyone I know. you'll bomb three times in a row and then you'll kill harder than anyone's killed in weeks. It's a very valuable skill.
Going back home and saying, okay, I need to be serious about this shit.
Yeah, you got a little urgency.
What do I do? More urgency. Jumped out of school to do this and now you're bombing every night. Come on, bro.
Yeah. I just remembered that there was one Tuesday where you bombed and I was literally comforting you and you were like, yeah. And you were like dismissing every word I'm saying. I'm just trying to tell
you.
What
was I supposed to say, bro? Like, yeah, man.
I know, but it was so funny to be like, oh, Jesus, I hope this guy doesn't kill himself.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, when a comedian can handle a bomb, like the fact that he's bombing and when someone needs, why you are laughing? Looking at me again.
You're in a good mood.
I have a stupid face. No, for example, if Jordan bombs, you giggle, like you are.
People enjoy watching someone extremely talented fail.
But
who doesn't
if
like
Zinger bombs really hard, I feel bad and I want to go to him and hug him. It's like different. Also, if I see Jordan bombing, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, but I know that he's like, okay, fine.
I'm feeling the shape of things and I'll learn. And I turned my worst bomb at Rocketta recently until the closing part of my show. Yeah. So
I really appreciate it. I was like, he's bombing so hard that everyone hates him, but he's staying there. And I really appreciate that. Like, because you were like, okay, I will not give up now. Like, let's see
also,
where I
can
go.
Also, I had to do it.
Let's see where I can go.
I had a show in 3 days I did not have an ending for.
I appreciate
it. You know
that.
What the reason is also, specifically with you, Zinger, is like, when you bomb or when you do well, you're always yourself on stage. It's the same thing. I've seen Jordan bomb where I see more nervousness or there's some change in your demeanor. And same with me. If I go up on stage and I'm doing some sort of like something and it's not working well and like you'll see it visibly on my demeanor.
Personality switch.
Yours is more like you do some joke, let's say smelly pussy, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not a joke I've seen in a long time, but like, let's say you're doing that. Mm-hmm. You're still you doing it. No one's laughing. You're like, and then you keep going. You are still yourself on stage. And so I think that's why it hurts more to watch you bomb than it would to someone who's just fucking bombing and you're like, what an idiot.
I think Zinger gets sad when he bombs. That's why people then are like, oh, I'm so sorry for you. He's like, because you can see from your face that he's like, oh, this is not working. And now what I do?
Yeah.
Is when I feel still new as a comedian, right, is these times when like things are going well and I can feel that I should be holding my ground like Zinger does, but I kind of just don't. Like I haven't yet. Yeah. It's only been a year. I haven't developed that instinct. Zinger just already kind of has that presence regardless. And it's difficult to teach. It takes other people years to get there.
I'll dispel a few things. The one thing that I don't think, okay, you said that you maintain frame when you bomb. No, I don't, sir. There's days when I've had a joke and I don't even say the last sentence because my brain is already telling me, listen, you are about to bomb this last sentence. Shut the fuck up. Do something. There's Jamaicans in the crowd. Tell them that they look nice. Do something.
Yeah.
It's literally like my personality forces me to just like, fuck it, throw that paper away. This is not gonna work. I'm telling you, this is not gonna work. Mayday, mayday, mayday,
but
right?
But that's not a bad instinct.
It's not a bad instinct, but I will say the idea of I just brush it off is definitely not.
To correct what I was saying, it's more so to read your demeanor, like seeing you from externally, then you can't tell. Whereas, for instance, for me, I've had this before where I don't like someone and they know immediately. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know how to hide it. All my emotions are showing on my face.
Yeah, just like your demeanor changes.
Yeah, just like, this person annoys me. And then I'm just immediately, they know.
But you say I have the poker face on stage.
You have a little bit of a poker face.
No, I don't agree. I really see that he turns sad.
Maybe Ariel and me are just less empathetic than Beatrice could be.
Yeah,
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, I don't give a shit about it.
Well, I think it's hilarious in Zinger Bomb. Me and Ariel are giggling.
Yeah, no, that's what Jordan...
My favorite shows are when people are bombing it. I just think it's fucking hilarious. It's funny when I bomb.
Laughter?
Yeah.
My bombs needs to stop.
Yeah.
I cannot help it. It's uncontrollable.
No, I really appreciate Jordan laughing when someone bombs.
It's the most, and because he snorts, that's even worse. And then you're like, bro.
No, you're talking about him off stage, laughing at comedians.
Yeah.
That shit is so evil, bro. No, it's him and Ravi. Fine. Him and Ravi love that shit.
Yeah, sure.
Because in a set where there's supposed to be dead silence, you just hear. You just hear that shit.
No. For me, this helps.
This helps, yeah. Because someone's having
Are
a
you
good
kidding
time.
Me?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Okay, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Just keep doing you. I'm not complaining about it, but my opinion on it would be, bruh.
Yeah, of course, because you're bombing.
Shit, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah,
bro.
Because you're bombing.
You would prefer complete silence.
Know. Yeah, I'd rather prefer that dead, you know, that dead silence so you can hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
That. Because then something
not possible to
like,
have.
Fuck. No, do you know why it helps, though? Sometimes, okay, let me explain. Sometimes when he's laughing, there's people who are listening to the set, who are now listening to Jordan's laughter and are wondering why they are not laughing. And you are on stage still trying to convince them that you're funny. Hello! Hey! Me, Jordan, shut up! Jordan and Ravi, shut the fuck up!
I really like when Jordan laughs at other comedians. Man. Also when I'm on stage and I know that like I'm bombing or anyway, my joke doesn't make any sense and I hear his laugh. It's funny. Like I enjoy more my time on stage.
You're part of it. We're in it together.
Because I'm like, I know that what Jordan is thinking, that I say this word in a weird way or whatever else. And the weird part is that he records my sets.
Oh, shit.
If you watch all my videos, there is always Jordan laughs.
At the end of the video, subscribe to.
My favorite thing about comedy is watching people bomb.
Oh,
yeah, it's great. It is
I won't lie to you, there's sets that I think that's what it was with me as well. I remember the first time I started, it was at your show on a Tuesday. Come to that show, longest standing show in Warsaw. But I was on stage. I was sitting out back and there was this one unfunny comedian. His name was Anton.
Okay.
Like, no one got his jokes at all.
Okay.
But I was dying. But he was talking about the craziest of shit. It's like, then I pulled the shit from my bum hole. Then I started twisting. Dog. And I was just
That's
there like...
That's the stinky pussy shit you love.
Bro. I was just there dying. I almost died listening to Anton. I couldn't breathe. I had to leave the room. And it was... But then I did the courtesy of not laughing out loud.
Uh-huh. No, it's uncontrollable, man. I can't control what I'm doing.
No, I feel you. I feel you, man. Well, keep doing it. But I just... That observation I've made is hilarious.
There's two during bombs comedian laughs. Like the first is that like the jokes are just really good and the audience doesn't appreciate it. So the comedians are appreciating it for them. Uh-huh, and then there's the meta comedy laugh. Of either
that's the one I like.
That's the one that I let because it's like about I see what's going wrong or like I see the mistake and all. It's just I don't know. It's just very
interesting. You mispronounced that word. Oh shit! You said ginger for finger. Oh.
But also, I think this happens when there are your friends on stage. When there are people that you don't know, you don't love.
If someone I don't know and doesn't know me, like no, I lock it up because like that's just being an asshole. I just had a realization.
I think also, quote my favorite Norm Macdonald, where he said, if you're going up on stage with the intention to make people laugh and no one laughs, that's funny. Like comedy is about surprise.
Yeah.
And your whole thing is supposed to make people laugh and you're not laughing. That's pretty funny.
That is funny, yeah.
Like, that's already funny in itself. So it is funny for a comedian who knows that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Of course, we love sitting back. And like, actually, every time that's lots of fun in a raqueta. Like, we're in the back. No one's laughing in the front with anyone, not just you. It's so much fun to just watch them fucking eat a dick.
How do I... What's my face when I bump? No, because all of you, you described your bombing moment.
I'm trying to think. I think it's more so you abandon things quicker. You're a little bit more nervous when you're bombing.
Okay, guys. Okay, guys. You switch up.
You're a little bit. You go like, what's this can of coke? Oh, maybe this.
Okay.
More like that. Maybe. I'm trying to think though.
And, here's a technical thing that so we see Filippo do the like stuttering speech of like changing suddenly like, oh, I was in the story the other day. Oh, a lemon. Oh, anyway, who likes democracy?
Yeah.
You do that, but before any discernible thought has been delivered.
Anyway, so I was. Okay. All right. Who likes?
And that's when it goes wrong because like people are just confused.
Yeah. Like, I know. I'm trying not to do that.
So basically, you glitch on stage. That's what happens.
I glitch. I don't talk about when I host because when I host, sometimes I just don't know what to say. So I'm in like trying to occupy the space of time. But when I'm on stage, for example, on Tuesday.
That's why I'm saying like I'm trying to think because I don't know how true that is because I've seen you not be nervous on stage and do the same thing than when you are nervous. But I think it's more so you are abandoning more.
You need to give yourself more time for the audience to get what you're doing and like eat more try uncomfortable pauses maybe like longer than you're comfortable with like. And then you'll land on.
And didn't you say I told you some advice where it's like you could just take Jordan.
Take a set to bomb.
Just take a set to bomb. Just stand and do nothing.
In Bar Bazaar when I sat on the chair and for 7 minutes I was just bombing. You remember?
And it gives you a power.
Not on purpose. I didn't want to bomb, but at one point after 1 minute I realized
this
I'm going to
happening.
Bomb for the entire
that's,
set.
That's
and I sat and I was like, okay, guys, I'm bombing and we are on this together.
So someone mentioned me. Bombing properly. Was it you, right?
Maybe, yeah.
That I don't believe that because the idea of bombing properly for me is getting as serious as possible with no intention of being funny and just talking from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's bombing properly for me because then you start to make connections, you make realizations, you're on stage, you start talking deep and stuff. I've never seen anyone do that. Patrice O'Neill used to do that a lot, where you just sit in front of an audience. He has to do 20 minutes. He does 50 of nothing.
Mm.
Just sitting there and bullying people, complaining, shouting, doing this, doing that. Prior used to do it too, where you'd come on. It felt like you was talking to ghosts. Or people were just not even alive at that point. And that's the art of getting to a good joke, is if you can bomb long enough to find the right train of thought. Because not everything is like there's a lot of surface level jokes that people can tell. Things that you can come up with, you know. But for you to get jokes that no one else has ever even said or thought deeper into, that's what separates you from the next guy. That's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've never been able to do it. Because every time I get on stage, and then I realize how unfunny I am. Right? Exactly. There's something in my brain or inside my heart that just goes, listen, bro. No.
It's about owning the stage and being comfortable up there and confident and be like, yeah, I belong here.
Yeah.
Even if the audience doesn't think so.
Yeah.
Just owning it.
I think that comes with experience and not only comfort on stage, but also like a sense of a bigger picture than, because there's a certain amount of selfishness that comes with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's like, you know, I'm doing this because I'm not thinking about this show. I'm thinking about the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough to do that when you're just doing a 5-minute spot.
Yeah.
And just want to be as good or the best in the
show. Exactly. And you'd want to, you'd try and do it for an hour.
Yeah.
But what happens is like, then you've thrown a show that has lasted an hour with unfunny material and you've basically disrespected your fucking
audience.
You've basically marketed this brilliant show like I've got punchlines. Then you come on the day and all you do is just like fucking
this fuck around.
It's like a therapy session.
Yeah. And that's annoying for the audience and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. So Zinger It was awesome having you.
Yep.
You're a great staple of the Warsaw community.
Yeah, we love you.
He's getting handshakes from all of us now.
I'm keeping it formal these days. I've been taught to be... It's painful to be polite. But
I'm trying to teach Zinger how to be polite.
It's painful to be polite. Okay, maybe that's the name of the
painful tool. Painful to be polite.
Painful to be polite.
That's the good name.
That's a good name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think too.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. It's great to have you. It's great to have you also performing, and you're constantly performing. So it's fun to have you at the shows.
Hey, thanks.
And lately you've been doing great, and I hope your November 4th show does amazingly.
I hope so too, man. A lot riding on this.
Yeah. Well, yep. I mean, not really. Like, hey, if it goes great, great. If it doesn't, like, you're a talented person who's going to work hard and keep going. And I expect great things. If you just keep fucking doing it, it will happen.
Yeah. I shall not.
And we will come and Jordan will laugh at the back.
I will laugh in the back regardless. I'll laugh if it's funny. Please I'll laugh record if you're
it.
Bombing.
It will be recorded, right?
Yeah.
I want to see it.
But you can't be there.
I'm in Canada.
No, I don't think I'm going to film it and put it on YouTube. I think I'm just going to keep it and see what...
And see it, yes. Yeah. Especially as your first half-hour shows.
So. First half-hour to see where we are. But then when we talk about, like, because if this goes well, this isn't just like for me. This is for the whole Warsaw community to realize that we can fucking do it. Because Terry claims he doesn't have 20 minutes, but I disagree.
He's got at least 7 minutes and 38 seconds. Terry absolutely does. 30,
Terry could absolutely do 30 minutes of material, but when he goes on stage, he'll do 4.
Yeah.
That's what happens to Terry.
Terry, we love you.
Terry.
Yeah, Terry, we're just joking around.
One of our 70 listeners, by the way.
We're just joking around with the absolute truth.
Terry,
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 Terry.
And that's how we end the Zinger show. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Zinger.
Thank you, Zinger.
Guys, appreciate the opportunity. Shout out to D-Flames, Peanut Butter, and my dog.
Word up, man.
All right.
Chunky Spoof.
Ciao.
So guys, follow the Comedy Hall on Facebook, on Instagram. Check out our shows. We will be so happy to talk with you. Also, if you have any suggestion about possible topics for this podcast, reach out. If you want to be part of the podcast, reach out. If you're a comedian and you stop by Warsaw, come and we will have fun together on stage. So ciao.